At North Carolina's Crystal Coast, you might have the same vacation plans. Hit the beach, find some good seafood, explore a little. But when there's actually room to roam and space to spread out, when there are endless ways to make each vacation yours, countless activities, a photo opportunity at every turn, when every breathtaking view belongs to you, it might be the same vacation plans, sure. But the feeling is much different. Visit crystalcoastmc.com/booking to book your next unforgettable getaway.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this fifth day of September 2025. And tonight, you know, Friday, folks, is the nights when the strange things have happened to us mostly. And so there's a feeling in the air around here tonight. We're just kind of taking things easy. Now, they brought back Derek. Derek is a troubleshooter. He's the guy that, you know, that he either does one or two things. He either causes the trouble or fixes them when we have it. So he's in there on the board tonight. And overseeing him is Lenny, and so they're in there together, and that could be a good thing, and maybe not. But anyhow, live in the studio here, we have, remember, the elder Randall Barkley.
Good evening. God is in control.
That's right, and he could put her in his pocket if he wanted. Good old Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All right, and then way down yonder, out there in the heart of Texas, we have none other than that grand old man, a legend in his own time, none other than Big John McTernan.
No, Pastor, a legend in my own mind.
Yeah. Well, I was close. I was close.
Well, thank you for that nice introduction, and God bless you and all our listeners, and we're going to have a great show tonight in the name of Jesus.
We are. Let's start that off with prayer. I want to do some prayer because, you know, we've had some strange things happen to us here this past year, especially. We know that we're up against, the real deep state, dark state, and they have technology, and they've let us know, no uncertain terms, that they can reach out and hit us when they have to. But, God's word, the Bible says not to touch God's anointed. So they're playing with fire when they come after us for preaching the gospel, huh?
Yes.
And so, absolutely, Pastor Ernie.
So anyhow, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we come before you tonight, Lord, you know who's listening out there. And we, you know, Lord, what they need to hear. So, Father God, we're asking that your truth, your whole truth, nothing but your truth, that go out over tonight, Lord, and we'd be the watchmen on the wall, we informing the people, getting them prepared for what is coming here our way. We know that we're living in those end times, and we know these times can be turbulent, and very interesting, to say the least. So we thank you for choosing us. We thank you, Lord, for raising us up. We thank you, Lord, for choosing us to run to the battle. In the name of the Father, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. We're gonna start tonight, John. I'm gonna play. We'll do something different tonight. I'm gonna play a clip because they're back again. Remember, September 23rd is gonna be the rapture of the church.
Yeah, that's right.
It's gonna happen again.
We're gone.
And so we, Rosh Hashanah and the feast of the tabernacles, and but it's gonna again. You know, this happens every couple of years. Mm-hmm. This happens, and I remember back in the 1980s, I remember absolutely positively it was going to be in this time of year in 1988 was going to happen, okay? It didn't.
Right.
And so we're going to play that, and then we're going to take a look at what God's Word in the Bible has to say. So go ahead, Derek, and light her up.
Rapture happen on September 23rd. As in a couple weeks from now. Well, this concept has become viral all of a sudden, and here are just a few clips of what's happening online.
Is the rapture really now in September? That's what a lot of people have been saying. You may have seen many videos, TikToks, or comments claiming the rapture is coming in September. This is during the Jewish Feast of Trumpets.
But then I saw a TikTok of a guy saying he was selling his house and all of his cars, and he was getting himself ready for the rapture happening on September 23rd. And I realized people actually think the rapture is happening September 23rd.
I've been asked to speak and address the idea or the message that's been spreading, that's viral, that there's going to be the rapture. It will fall on this September of 2025 on Rosh Hashanah.
CBN's Billy Hollowell joins us now. Billy, what's going on with this whole September 23rd rapture idea?
You know, I hope it's happening. I'm going to pack my stuff right now and get ready to go. But no, look, the rapture is not an event. None of these prophetic events, any end times event, we are not supposed to be date setting. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But for some reason, people have sort of fixated, and I think it's because you have a Jewish holiday, right? The Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, that is happening, I believe it's on sundown on the 22nd through the 24th of September. And so the 23rd falling in the middle of that during the Feast of Trumpets, it is sparking all sorts of speculation. You take that event, right, on the calendar, the new year there, and you mix it with all the things that are happening in the Middle East right now, with Israel, with a push for a two-state solution, with other countries probably very quickly trying to push on Israel to, you know, adopt this two-state solution. So people have for some reason said, oh, the rapture is happening. And I have to tell you, we have seen this again and again and again. It goes back centuries of people trying to predict, when we're not supposed to, the date of the rapture. And the most infamous one of late happened a few years back with Harold Camping saying that he had a specific date for the rapture. I think he even chose a second date when the first one didn't happen based on all these calculations. And there's some real dangers to this, which we can talk about, but that's sort of the background of what is going on here.
Well, obviously the verse that people will pull out here is Matthew 24:36. But about the day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. But then you also will hear these people, I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, there's a large camp of folks that will say, you know, Daniel actually predicted the coming of the Messiah to the day. And so we should be hyper-vigilant to be studying prophecy, hyper-vigilant to be reading the signs and the times, hyper-vigilant to see, you know, to calculate this kind of thing. So, Billy, obviously you've spent a lot of time researching end time stuff, researching latter days concepts and biblical worldviews. What do you think is, not to put you on the spot, the most biblical way of handling these date sets?
Now, I love that question because, by the way, it's not just in Matthew. It's also Mark 13:32 says almost the same exact thing word for word about nobody knowing the day or the hour. So you see it there twice in the Gospels. Here's the deal. When you go and you look at what Jesus says, he talks about all sorts of things. When he's asked by the disciples for, you know, the signs of the end times, right? He talks about false messiahs and prophets. He talks about wars and disasters, earthquakes and famines, right? He says these are just the beginning. He talks about persecution, all sorts of different elements. He talks about the importance of endurance and all of that, right? There's so much more there. But I think the appropriate balance is to be aware of these signs, right? To know that we're always marching toward the end of days. And I think the key difference between, you know, Daniel and the first prophecies that we're talking about of Jesus and the end times is that the end times is about the, you know, the end of the age, the new era, the new heaven and earth. And there's so much debate and discussion about all that. It's a very different type of prophecy. So we're told to be aware of those signs. I think there's a reason why Jesus gives us those, but not to obsess about the day or the hour, because so many things, you know, need to happen or are going to happen based on what we see in prophecy. So I think our balance is don't date set, know that we're always marching toward it. And here's the deal. It doesn't matter whether the rapture happens tomorrow or whether there are some people who believe the rapture and the second coming are one and the same. We won't get into that debate. But what I will say is that we need to be ready, always ready. If you really believe the end of days is coming, you should probably be reaching out to people who don't know the Lord, witnessing to them and sharing with them. That should be our focus, not date setting, which we're specifically told not to do.
Yeah, I think there's a tendency to go one way or the other. One of the tendencies that I hear is to just totally ignore prophecy, right? Where it's like, listen, Jesus won, like, who cares? Like, when it happens, don't worry about it, don't think about it. I don't think that view is biblical. Now, you know, dedicating every waking moment to, you know, finding the exact time, I mean, that's your prerogative. But I do think it's interesting that the book of Revelation which is basically a book of prophecy, starts with chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So there's two sides of every coin, usually, like there are in these theological debates, I guess you could say. So let us hear I'm genuinely curious. What do you think about not just date setting in general, but September 23rd? Put it in the comment section. Let's keep it civil. But, you know, there is a healthy debate in the church among, you know, these kind of not primary issues when it comes to salvation and things like that. But I do think it's biblical. It's right. It's right there for us to talk about and to understand. So let us know in the comment section where you stand on these things, where you think people are getting them wrong, where you think, you know, we should be focusing more on. But I do think this is a subject that's going to get more and more attention as the rise of AI, the rise of, you know, global wars, Israel's being more maligned and ostracized than ever before. So you have a lot of these things in play. But let us know. Let us know in the comment section, and we will be obviously talking about this more and more in the days to come. But Billy, I will give you the last word.
Yeah, you know, I think it's natural that people are asking questions, right, and wondering where we are in the prophetic timeline because of what is happening in the Middle East, because we know Revelation talks about Israel. I mean, the entire Bible does, right? And we know that 1948, in the eyes of many, including myself, is believed to be a fulfillment of prophecies we see in the book of Ezekiel, for instance. And so there's a lot happening. And so it's natural to ask questions. We want to ask healthy questions. We don't want to obsess about a specific date. Only God knows. And our mission is not to obsess about that. Our mission is to be aware of it, to look for the signs, to understand. And those signs should spark us to, again, preach the gospel to the people around us so that we make sure they are saved, right? If we're really worried it's happening soon, then we need to make sure we get people saved. So appreciate this conversation, Raj.
Alrighty, we are back. It's ironic. The irony is here. You know, it's like the boy that cried wolf, you know, wolf, wolf. And then one day, nobody believed him when the wolf actually came.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody believed him. So here, they'll cry, rapture, rapture, and nobody will believe. And at that time, when nobody believes the rapture is going to take place, it's probably when it's going to take place.
Right.
It's going to take place then, okay. And that's the irony. And here, so I said the Feast of the Tabernacle. I meant Feast of the Trumpets. Rosh Hashanah is what I meant to say. Now, we're going to take a kind of a look here. The interesting thing was earlier this week, I did a clip on the John Rich, the country singer, country music singer. He was on saying that there was not going to be any rapture of the church. He was actually, he actually said, he might sing country western songs good, but he needs to stay away from description until he, until he knows what he's talking about, because he was saying how the teaching of the rapture didn't start till with Margaret MacDonald's Dream back in the 1800s, okay? And but, you know, we took it back to the Apostle Paul and Lord Jesus, and they were way before the 1800s, okay? And, in fact, we took it back. Now, here's what we'll do tonight. Randy, I want you, we're going to read from Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 32 all the way through, and stop at verse 35, and then we'll pick it up and 36 and read it through 44. And John, I want you to go to the Acts chapter 1 and verses 6 through 8. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, okay? Well, actually, let's go 3 through 8, okay? And then I'll finish off and over in 1 Thessalonians, the last part of 4 and the first part of 5. So, Randy, go ahead.
Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
All right, so now here, this is where a lot of the theories come from, because the Bible virtually speaks of two generations, an unholy generation and a holy generation, okay? Or not holy, righteous. An unrighteous, which is about 40 years, and a righteous generation, which is 70, which is 70 years, okay? Now, you can add to that, and if you take a look at where some of this started, remember, there was back in the early 80s, always starting back with about 1980, we had a fellow who, he was a computer programmer. He worked with computers, that's what he did. And he had decided, he had been working and working, and he kept calling me. In fact, he lived not far from me. And his name was the same as mine, Ernie. You know, we had the same first name. And so he would call me, and I got it. Listen, I'm telling you, and he would, and I'd say, Ernie, listen, I wouldn't do that. The Bible says don't do it. No, you don't understand. It's not meaning that. And but anyhow, he had it. Absolutely, it was going to happen in 1988 came and passed. We're all still here, and so then Ernie says, well, there's where I made my mistake. I was coming because of the days that we were living in. I was coming from an unrighteous generation, so that would have taken it from 1948 when, what was that, John? Was it in May of 1948 that Israel became a nation again?
Yes, Pastor Ernie, May 14th, 1948.
Jeez, somebody had a birthday about that time. I'm trying to remember who it was.
Oh, now you know, Pastor. It was me, May 15th, 1948.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay. Yeah, John just turned 20 years old back in 1948. Only kidding, folks. Anyhow, So now he says, now I know where my mistake was. It was a righteous generation. So now that moved it up. If you're going to go to 2018, okay, 2018 came, and, well, Trump was in office, and that was good, but there wasn't any rapture taking place, was it?
No.
Okay. And so here, go ahead and pick it up, Randy, with verse 36.
36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come.
All right, so now here, when he's talking about John, a righteous generation, and he was thinking back then that we had an unrighteous generation. I remember, I grew up in the 50s, I remember my neighbor, the neighbor had gotten drunk, and and the police came, and he took the Lord's name in vain, and that was a crime then.
Mm.
He got arrested for taking the Lord's name in vain back then. Today, you got these congresswomen, these Democrat congresswomen are dropping the F-bomb, all over the place. And, in fact, one of them just referred, speaking out there to President Trump and us as MFers, okay? Mm. And she did this, you talk about, that's whore talk, okay? But anyhow, so when he's saying this, now we're putting our days when we're saying, well, then it didn't happen then. So, we were those same people that were alive and saw, well, like I was, Israel become a nation. Well, it didn't happen. But when you say, he even tells you that even 70 and maybe even 10 more. Mm-hmm. For people, that for certain people, you get another 10, okay? And so here, we're going to look. I'm going to take, John, would you go over to Acts chapter 1 and read me verses, what was it I said before?
3. You want to start at 3.
Yeah, go ahead and start at 3 and read all the way through 8, if you would.
Okay. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Yeah, we have a tendency, because our lifespan is so short, to try to encase everything in our lifespan, okay? Mm. That's not the way with God, huh? Okay? I mean, when you talk about long-range planning, God's got some extremely long-range plans, don't he?
Okay? Oh, yeah.
We started out in, over 4,000 years ago, and, 6,000 years ago, 4,000 years before the the Christ child came, that was prophesied, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's been over 6,000 years since he talked about Genesis, you know, the Evangelium in Genesis 3:15. Okay, we're going to go just a little past the break if we can on that. Okay, and so, all right, and then, so here, I wanted to jump over very quickly, too, because he's telling us very clearly,
mm-hmm.
okay, he's laying things out. The Bible's not in chronological order, okay,
mm-hmm.
and he's laying things out, and I want to go over to two things here. This is what John Rich didn't understand, the difference between the day of Christ and the day of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The day of Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, mm-hmm. The Savior, always deals with salvation. The day of the Lord always deals with judgment. And so mm-hmm. in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting with verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now he's definitely describing the rapture of the church there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, this is long before Margaret MacDonald was ever born. But then he goes, now he switches from that over to the day of the Lord. And he says, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
Mm.
So he's given us three distinct warnings there, you know, on this. And yet I've known more people that keep trying to set a date,
yeah.
you know, on this. And like I said, probably the day will come when everybody will be mocking and laughing so much, mm-hmm. saying, yeah, sure, we heard this, then that'll be the day.
Yes.
That does happen, okay?
Yeah.
And so with that, we're going to switch off now, and we're gonna hear from a Democratic president. You ready for this, John?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hear...
Oh, Pastor Ernie, I'm like a kid waiting for Christmas. Let's go.
Yeah. We're going to hear about immigration, illegal immigration. Take her away.
Members of this committee, please turn your attention to the video screens.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
You believe in open borders and complete chaos. Did you notice the bipartisan support in the chamber? As the video was played, everybody was clapping in that chamber. If I were in Congress in 1995, I would have also stood. Because I wasn't, I stand here today. Other than President Donald J. Trump, the greatest president in my lifetime, with the most safest and secure border, I believe President Clinton understood just how important border security is to our nation. But boy, oh boy, have times changed. 28 years later, the left has gone off the rails. They've gone completely nuts. They've done just the opposite of what the leader of the Democrat Party, President Clinton, stood for on border security in 1995. This committee's ranking member, he was in Congress in 1995. I assume he stood. It seemed like the majority, if not all of the entire chamber, they stood. Matter of fact, Mr. Clinton delivered his speech in the third year of his first term. And he was reelected in 1996. He beat Bob Dole, won by over 8 million votes, won the Electoral College 379 to 159. He had the support of the American people, and I'm going to assume the ranking member also voted for Bill Clinton in 1996. We have two other members, Ms. Jackson and Ms. Lofgren. They were both freshmen at the time. I will assume they stood during that powerful speech as well. And do you know why they supported and voted? They voted for legislation in 1996 strengthening our immigration laws. I applaud them for that. So what's changed, folks? What's changed with the Democrat Party? I'll tell you what's changed. If you wouldn't have heard President Clinton's voice or seen his face, you would have thought Donald Trump delivered that speech. I don't believe that President Clinton was called a racist, a white supremacist who hated immigrants, as the left and the dishonest media has painted Donald J. Trump to be. I have a report from the Heritage Foundation titled Tracking Movement of Illegal Aliens from NGOs to Interior of the USA. Why do you think NGOs have moved illegal immigrants to 431 of the 435 congressional districts? The truth is, hear me, it's because the Democrats' progressive policies are not acceptable to Americans. Heritage obtained a sampling of approximately 30,000 cell phones that were tracked to NGOs along border states. They tracked approximately 22,000 devices at 20 NGO locations in January 2022. The same devices were later traced to 431 separate U.S. congressional districts, and of the 52 with the highest rate of tracked devices, 71 of them were Republican congressional districts. The report revealed that it's not a coincidence, folks. The flood of illegal immigrants means a continued rise in surplus laborers. That surplus drives down the wages of existing middle-class and lower-class job holders until they leave the job forces, and then they're forced to go on welfare with the hopes that they will become loyal supporters of the Democrats. That's what this is all about.
You know, here's the other thing. First of all, I don't know how Clinton ever became the first black president. Do you remember how they used to keep saying he was the first black president?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking at him, and I thought, I wonder if he knows that. I mean, you know, but it...
yeah.
Okay, that's okay. But anyhow, so... But here's the other thing. I remember Clinton giving a speech on crime. We have to stop the crime in the cities, and these people, okay, are responsible. Boy, today, how heartless he could be. I mean, can you imagine? How would you expect criminals to stay criminals if you won't let them be criminals, right? Mm-hmm. If you won't let them commit crimes, then how can they continue to be criminals? I mean, and if you, like Van Hollen and this guy here, Senate Tim Kaine. Tim Kaine, first of all, Tim Kaine, he is much more in favor of the illegal aliens, the criminals. We need them. We need them. And not only that, but listen to this. Hey, John McTernan, question. Where do our rights come from?
They come from the throne of God, Pastor Ernie. They are unalienable rights that are given to us by our Creator.
Well, Tim Kaine said that
life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Tim Kaine said that is not correct, and that what it says even in the Bible or the Constitution is not correct, that it actually comes from the DNC.
Mm.
And so...
Yeah, he compared that belief in the Declaration of Independence with the way that the Ayatollahs think in Iran. He actually said that, Pastor Ernie.
How did these people ever get into government? I mean, just unbelievable.
It goes, the freedoms that we have based on the Bible and basing our freedoms on the scriptures is the same as what the Ayatollahs do with Sharia law. That's what he said. In fact, I've got it. It was all over the news today that he said that.
It's unbelievable. Now, you know, the thing of it is, in a sense, they're actually helping us because, you know, the more they talk, the less popular their program becomes. Right now, their rating is far as the Democratic approval rating is down to 17% now. 17%.
That's probably about right, Pastor. The hardest of the hard left, they're somewhere around 15%, 12% of the population.
Yeah. Well, the approval rating is the lowest it's ever been, okay? Now, check this out. The approval rating of the mayor of Chicago, Johnson, is 7%. He's got a 7. How could you hold an office with a 7? That means he's got a 93 unapproved rate, right. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But there he is. There is Chicago, okay? And they're leaving, what is it, something like 20,000 people, no, it was 200,000 leave Illinois every year. 200,000 in the last couple of years have left the state.
Wow.
I don't blame them for leaving the states, okay?
Well, what they're doing, Pastor Ernie, on purpose in Chicago is and it's like racial. There's a lot. They've gone into the black areas. It's devastated in there with crime. The businesses have left. There's no jobs. And they're bringing in illegal aliens, and they're putting them in, like, kind of plush hotels right in that and near that area. And they have a big, tents set up, and the illegal aliens are getting fed with top food. They go in, and the Americans, and it's particularly the blacks, can't go in.
Yeah,
they have illegal aliens put up in hotels, and they're bringing them into these areas, feeding them under big tents with buffets and all of that, and the Americans can't go in, and they can't stay in those hotels, Pastor.
Not only that, but the gangs, what is that? The gangs, the ones that they just blew up, that Trump just blew them up in the boat, the drug. What is the name of that
PDA.
Gang?
Pardon? From Venezuelan, PDA.
Yeah. They were trying to take over. They want the Chicago gangs, whatever they are, the Bloods and the Crips or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're telling them that they're going to have to, they're going to take over. They're going to take over their territory. So now you got this the gang war going on in there, mm-hmm. too. I remember, John, you may remember some years ago, there was a former gang boss. He was, and he actually called, he got saved. He actually called in on the radio, and he told me how, he said, you want to know why so many kids are getting shot? He said, we get calls. I get a call telling me to go to this place at this time, and you're going to find there'll be a gift for you. And we would go, and there would be a crate of guns and ammunition, okay? And he said, and this was during Obama's, when Obama was in, and it was the federal government was doing it, okay? Wow. They were providing that, okay? And so, you know, to keep the shooting, the killing going. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable what's taking place there. But, and, you know, this, here's something that, you know, I'm amazed at times when we're out there, we're telling you these things, and then all of a sudden, for example, today the big news is the DOJ, the Department of Justice, they found out that the Biden administration, the regime, weaponized the full weight of the federal government against Christians. They just found that out. I mean, this is the big news to come out today. We've been telling people there from day one.
Mm.
And we told you over and over, he's going after pro-lifers, he's going after homeschoolers. Every day we would tell you, they definitely didn't like this radio program, I can tell you that. Okay. And so,
Mr. Ernie.
Yeah.
I think, you know, based on what you've just said, how many times are you aware of
The guy that was the head of the FBI. Ah, I can't think of his name.
Comey?
No.
Chris Wray?
Chris Wray. How many times did he sit before Congress and said that they weren't targeting Christians? He didn't know anything about all offices throughout the country trying to penetrate the churches, the Catholic Church, you know. How many times did he sit there and perjure himself?
And he did that with that little smirk on his face. He had that little smirk like I'm lying, but I'm not worried about it because you don't have a DOJ. You don't have an attorney general out there. The fix is in. I can lie all day long and not be prosecuted because I have Merrick Garland there for me.
Yeah, so they must have that guy, Ray. Ray, is that his last name? Ray?
Yeah, Chris Wray.
W-R-A-Y, right?
Yeah.
Chris Wray.
Mm-hmm.
They must have him easily 10 to 20 times of perjury before
coming. What about Merrick Garland, Attorney General?
But I'm talking about Earl Ray. Earl Ray. Ray, because of this here particular thing going after the Christians. He was leading the FBI in doing it. And said he wasn't doing it, and he was absolutely lying. Please put him in jail.
I know, but remember, Merrick Garland did the very same thing. Merrick Garland, when they questioned him, said that there was nothing coming down there. He said, "We will if there's anything to that, we'll." Put a stop to it, this and that. When he was lying through his teeth, that he knew it. And the other one who lied and lied and lied, and he smirked was Mariarchus. Mariarchus, he sat there, he looked like a devil, and, you know, and just lied, and he had that smirk on his face, lying over and over. And yet, I'm wondering, because, you know, that was illegal, but is there a statute of limitations on that?
3 years.
Three?
I found that out. It's lying to Congress is a 3-year statute of limitations.
Now, there are some things like insurrection where there's what? Between 7 and 10 years?
I think there's 10 years.
10.
But treason, I think, is it is lifetime. I don't know if there's a statute on that, Pastor Ernie.
Well, boy, they've committed high treason for sure. And so,
Pastor Ernie, I wish that Bondi and the FBI and Patel and them, can't they bag just one of them, like with contempt of Congress? Can't they get Mayorkas or what's his name? Garland? Is that his name?
Yeah, Merrick Garland. Well, here's what all the charity.
Can't they just indict one of them for 15 counts of perjury before the the House or Senate? Not, you know, there's just, all right, we've got, 8 months now Trump has been there? And I just wish that they get one test or any one of the deep staters, you know.
Here's what the chatter says, that Bolton is going first. Bolton is going to go down. He's the first of the dominoes. Then Comey. Then they say Comey because they've got enough on Comey. Comey went on television and condemned himself. Okay, I mean, this guy.
Mr. Ernie, Comey has admitted leaking FBI information to a the University of Columbia professor who then gave it to, like, the New York Times. He admitted that publicly.
Let me ask you something, because do you think that Comey right now is all there? He's said some strange things.
No, Pastor Ernie. There's something really weird about that guy. He is, like, eerie weird.
Mm. Something satanic?
Yeah,
I noticed that there was even the look on his face and the look in his eyes, huh?
Yeah, and he's getting worse because, you know, you don't see him that often. And when this here broke, remember him? He said he found this on the seashore, remember?
Oh, yeah,
yeah. And so I hadn't seen him for a long time till that broke. And that weirdness, that eeriness, was like tenfold from the time before. I mean, there's something really deep down inside, I'm going to say demonic about him.
Yeah, I would say so, too. There, you definitely pick up on that. And, you know, while we're still doing good, well, we haven't had anything happen yet tonight because, I you know, Friday nights is when the weird things happen, and so it seems like, so we're going to go ahead. And we talked about all of this stuff, and it's going to come down. There's some indictments coming down. But one of the things that we talked about, remember this. It was 3 weeks before the first person took the first so-called COVID shot, okay? I'm not calling them vaccines because they weren't vaccines.
Right.
They were bioweapons, okay?
Yeah.
And 3 weeks, we told everybody here on this radio, right behind this mic, that these are not vaccines, that these are bioweapons, okay? And every single test animal, and there were a lot of test animals they tested, died. Every one of them died when they got this. So here now, the big news is today that they're discovering that people have died now from this. And so go ahead and play that clip there, Derek.
U.S. President Donald Trump is demanding full transparency from drug companies over the effectiveness of their COVID-19 drugs. Trump called on Pfizer, Moderna, and other pharmaceutical companies to release data immediately, saying the public deserves to see the evidence. He said companies have shown him extraordinary results, but questioned why the same information is not shared with the public. On Truth Social, Trump wrote that it's important to justify success, as some believe vaccines save millions, while others doubt. Trump pointed directly to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., saying the CDC and his opponents are tearing themselves apart without clear data. The president urged drug companies to clear up the debate now, saying the CDC is being ripped apart over the issue. Trump also cast doubt on Operation Warp Speed, his own fast-track vaccine program launched in 2020 during the pandemic. He said its reputation must be verified, asking if it was truly as brilliant as many say, or whether mistakes were made. The comments come days after Trump fired CDC Director Susan Monterez following clashes with RFK Jr. over vaccine policy. Kennedy, a vaccine skeptic, is now shaping CDC leadership. Three senior officials resigned in protest over his direction. The FDA has meanwhile narrowed vaccine recommendations, limiting the latest shots to seniors and high-risk individuals.
Hi, it's Robert F. Kennedy Jr. here, your HHS secretary. At HHS, we have a division called the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, or BARDA. BARDA drives some of our most advanced scientific research. It funds developments of vaccines, drugs, diagnostics, and other tools to fight emerging diseases and national health threats. Over the past few weeks, BARDA reviewed 22 mRNA vaccine development investments and began canceling them. Let me explain why. Most of these shots are for flu or COVID, but as the pandemic showed us, mRNA vaccines don't perform well against viruses that infect the upper respiratory tract. Here's the problem. mRNA only codes for a small part of the viral proteins, usually a single antigen. One mutation and the vaccine becomes ineffective. This dynamic drives a phenomenon called antigenic shift, meaning that the vaccine paradoxically encourages new mutations and can actually prolong pandemics as the virus constantly mutates to escape the protective effects of the vaccine. Millions of people, maybe even you or someone you know, caught the Omicron variant despite being vaccinated. That's because a single mutation can make mRNA vaccines ineffective. The same risk applies to flu.
I've presented at the FDA advisory meetings. I've advised companies for decades on this, so I know the regulatory science very well. When a product definitely results in death, and there are thousands of peer-reviewed papers on this, Governor, the COVID vaccines in some people, sadly, result in death. Some on the very first day they take the shot. That must be a black box warning on the product immediately. I just checked the package inserts for the currently available products, the ones that Senator Blumenthal wants to pursue. Sounds like Governor wants to still pursue these. Our FDA still wants them to be administered. They still don't have the word death in the package insert. As of today, they don't. And so Americans are not fairly informed.
Do you have any doubt in your mind that the COVID injection caused some deaths? I mean, what do you think of the, 38,607 right now listed on Veyers? What do you think the real number is? And do you have any science to back up your opinion?
The best data are autopsies. So in the largest autopsy series published to date, I know because I'm the senior author, of all the deaths we examined, and we re-reviewed them, we had an adjudication committee, we had ways of arbitration, deciding on did the vaccine cause death. The answer is, of these cases that came in for autopsy after vaccination, 73.9% of individuals, it was determined that the vaccine was the cause of death. First author is Holscher and colleagues, who's sitting right behind me.
And again, by FDA's own laws, that should be included on that package insert, correct?
Immediately in 2021, Dr. Carol Tassetta, working with the Daily Cloud, wrote Peter's Marks in the summer of 2023 and said, where's the black box warning? Where is it? No word from Marks.
Dr. Vaughn, you want to weigh in on the informed consent?
Well, the other thing is, I think emergency use authorization, actually by definition, when you fill out the documents for the patient, if they read it, it actually says that they should make sure that they are under no compulsion to get this product. And that is what's so confusing, because even though the product was mandated in the summer, at the end of the summer of 2021, the product on the shelves was still the EUA product. And in that sense, for somebody to be mandated to something that they also have to sign to say that they weren't mandated to do it is kind of hard to do legally.
By the way, that's the subject of a couple oversight letters in terms of the whole full authorization type of thing. Dr. Thorpe, quickly?
Yes. On informed consent, there was completely the opposite in pregnant women. HHS appears to have captured the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and my research team, including Maggie Thorpe, J.D., have proven that with the Freedom of Information Act.
For a few million dollars, correct?
Many million dollars. They captured ACOG. In December of 2020, everybody at ACOG and the other organizations, we're not going to push this vaccine in pregnant women. In the span of a pregnancy, 40 weeks, September 27th, 2021, you will push the vaccine. You will push it in pregnant women.
All right, John. We told people about this. I mean, we were out there right now. I believe it is the latest numbers that worldwide was 22 million people died worldwide from those shots. I'm trying to think of how many people died from World War II. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.